Hi, I'm Bob Taper with LearnVisualStudio.net. In this lesson, we're going to pick back up with the Contoso Cookbook. So please close down the Hello World solution if you haven't done so already, and make sure that you have opened up the Contoso Cookbook solution. And there's really two basic tasks. Here, let's open up our, get back here. We are in lab number one, creating a Windows app. Exercise one, task number four, customizing the branding. And so there's two basic things we're gonna do. We're gonna pull in images into our solution, and then we're going to set something called the app manifest. So let's go ahead and work on that. There are a couple of different ways to go about this. What we ultimately want to do is replace these default logo, small logo, splash screen, and so on from the images folder with the ones that are provided for us in the Windows 8 Camp in a Box. And recall from the very first video, I have this little helper that will just isolate those files. So if you don't want to download the entire Camp in a Box, you don't have to. So that's what I'm going to use for this example. I'm going to drill into the images subfolder, and there are these five files that the instructions tell us to pull in. And what I'm simply going to do is just select them all by selecting the first one, holding down the shift button, selecting the last one to get a multiple selection, and then I'm going to drag and drop these into the images folder in my solution explorer of my project. And it says a file with that name already exists. Do you want to replace it? I'm going to select apply all items and click yes. And now we have new versions of our logos, our splash screen image, and the wide logo is added as well. All right, sweet. So that's the first part. And now it asks us to go ahead and open up this package .appx manifest file. So I'm going to double click it, and we're going to see just a minute the composition of this file. Let me go ahead and go full screen again. But we're instructed to make a few minor changes, like adding a space to create the display name properly. We'll do the same with the description. And then also we're going to go down to this section here below. This looks a little bit different on my screen than in the instructions, and that's because I have the most recent version of Visual Studio with all the updates applied, and they changed the screen up just a little bit. But at any rate, it all should work, except we're going to need to change this wide logo. And so let's go ahead and just in this type images/wide logo.png. And you can see it already auto detects the size and scale. And I think that's all we need to do there. And we're just going to make sure that everything else looks like it should in order. Okay, very good. So now when we actually launch our application, we should get a splash screen change, and we do. And if we were to go out to the main page here, you can see that we get our wide version of the Contoso Cookbook logo, and as the instructions suggest, we can use a smaller version of the icon by right-clicking and selecting smaller, or right-click and select larger, and we get the two different size logos. All right, so that makes the sufficient changes that we wanted to for the app. Let's go ahead and stop it. Okay, so now that we've followed the instructions, let's peek under the hood a little bit and see how this all works. What I want to do is go in my Solution Explorer down here and right click on the package.appx manifest file and select view code. It'll say, are you sure, do you want to close the current view of the appx manifest? Yes. And so what we see here is a bunch of declarative code. Kind of looks like HTML, right? It's actually XML, extensible markup language. So XML looks a lot like HTML in so much that they share a common ancestry. So whereas HTML is specific to structuring a web page document, XML is a bit more generic. You can use it for any purpose that you want. And so to do that, you define the names of the elements and the attributes that you need to suit your particular purpose. In the past, developers have used XML for things like storing app settings or using it as a means of transferring data between two systems that were never meant to work with each other. So in this case, it's used for storing important settings, values. To use XML, you start by defining a schema, and a schema just allows you to define the rules of the game. So you define the proper names of the elements and their attributes for a particular type or flavor of XML file that suits your purposes. So you can think of a schema as a contract. Every app declares a schema, and so they're basically agreeing, both the producer of the XML and the consumer of the XML, to abide by that contract, by the rules that have been set forth. So now that they agree on the rules, they can communicate with each other. So a schema is an important part of XML. If you recall from the HTML5 and CSS fundamental series, that HTML5 has a schema as well that we declare in a doc type, right? So a schema is basically just a way of making sure that everybody's following the rules. And so we can see that declaration of which schema our XML file is using in this package element. You can see it has a namespace called XML namespace, XMLNS, and so it gives us this URL. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to select it all and hit Control C on my keyboard, and then open up Internet Explorer, open up a new tab, and paste in that URL. I'm going to try and go to that web page, and we get an error occurred while processing your request. Why is that? Well, because the schema is not published in the sense that you can go to this URL and actually view it. It's simply a unique name. It's kind of like a last name for your code. If you recall the notion of namespaces from C Sharp or even from JavaScript, it's used to kind of make sure that classes can be distinguished one from another. So two classes may have the same name, but you can distinguish them by using additional namespaces, which allows you to have two classes with the same name, but they kind of belong to two separate families, okay? So when we see this URL, or more appropriately URI, a uniform resource identifier, not a locator, it's basically a namespace identifier. The XML namespaces are simply instructions to the various apps that will parse through the XML. So in this case, Visual Studio is both the producer and the consumer, and ultimately Windows 8 and the Windows Store will be consumers as well, and they all promise to abide by the terms of the contract as set forth by this name, HTTP schemas Microsoft.com AppX 2010 manifest. Okay, that's the last name for the code. All right, so while we can't actually read the schema, the contract, for this flavor, this brand of XML, we do see that there is a syntax and there's a language that defines things about our app. And together, this comprises a manifest for the app. All of our HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript, image, and other resource files will be packaged into a special Windows Store package file, which is basically just a fancy zip file with a .appx file extension. And this package, .appx manifest file, will be what introduces our app to Windows 8 on the end user's machine. So what exactly does this package.appx manifest file say about our app? I tend to think of an app manifest the same way that I think about like a ship's manifest. The captain checks over the cargo he's going to be hauling. I suppose that might include people too that will be traveling on the ship. So it's just extra information about the shipment. It's metadata. The shipper signs off on the manifest. The captain can now use the manifest to prove that he delivered everything he promised to deliver to the receiver once he arrives at the port of destination. Admittedly, that's a bit of a stretch, but the app manifest tells Windows 8 what's on board, what's inside of this AppX file that you're about to crack open and allow your end user to actually to run. So it contains the details of the app that will be executed by Windows 8. It gives the app's name, its publisher, its capabilities, things that it wants access to, like access to webcams or microphones, the internet, parts of the file system, maybe specifically the user's documents, the music and the video libraries, for example. Not in this application, but you could see how it would need to notify Windows of its intent to access these sorts of things ahead of time. So, interestingly, it also tells Windows 8 about which file in our package it should start with. So take a look at this line. Application ID equals app, start page equals default.html. That's why the default.html page gets loaded up immediately as your application loads. So the manifest is an important part of introducing our app to Windows 8. And we should probably leave it at that, not touch it, don't add anything to it. As we add features to our app, we're going to be modifying this XML file, but we're probably going to be doing those modifications using this fancy little designer here that they've kind of pasted on top or used to edit these sorts of files. And let's just not make changes to the XML itself, because if we break it, we may have to start all over from scratch or make some pretty having to dig into the details and figure out what the problem seems to be. We may not get the satisfying experience that we're hoping for. So it's just safer that way to leave it alone and use this designer. Okay, so in this lesson, we made some small modifications to our app, merely changing the branding. But in the process, we learned about the package appx manifest file. We learned a little bit about XML, too, along the way. We learned about the purpose of the manifest. And now we're ready to make some bigger changes to our app. We're going to swap out the sample data with actual data for our app. So we're going to want to learn how the current sample data is created and loaded into our app first. So whenever we actually run the app, where is all this sample data? The item title 1, item title 3, item subtitle 3, group title 1, and so forth. Where is all that coming from? And so this will give us some new insights into how the WinJS helps us by allowing us to bind to data. And we'll learn more about the list view and templating and a lot more from this point on. So we'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you. Thank you.